Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And welcome to the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Gary Truss, Billboard's co-director of charts.
And I'm Megan Stahl. I am an intern here at Billboard.
You don't sound like Trevor.
I actually, my voice got a little bit higher. But yeah, Trevor's gone and I'm taking his place for the week.
Yeah, I guess we should say Trevor's not gone. He should be back.
He's going to be back. He's not gone.
Under the weather this week, and the weather can't be helping because it became springtime, but there's snow and it's freezing. So
it's unpredictable here.
Yeah. So get well, Trevor. Meg is filling in this week. It's your big break, Meg.
Yeah. I've always been dreaming of this. Mom, Dad, if you're listening, yeah. I made it.
We've actually talked before, you interning at Billboard, Meg. Your family has history on Billboard charts.
Yeah, so pretty amazing. Distant relative, my grandmother's first cousin actually was a big band singer in the 1940s. Her name was Helen O'Connell, and I was going through our library here at Billboard and actually spotted her name on the charts and some articles that they wrote about her. So it's pretty awesome.
We record this podcast in the Billboard Library, mm-hmm. So you're sort of adding to the next generation of family history.
It's like I was meant to be here.
Have you made a copy? Have you shown it to your family?
I've taken some pictures. I'm going home back to Michigan next month, so I'm definitely excited to show my grandmother and the rest of the family.
All right. It was meant to be.
Yeah.
Speaking of meant to be, with Trevor not here, I can make as many bad puns.
Exactly.
As I want.
I'm not going to make fun of you.
We've got that really cool guest coming up on the podcast this week, Hillsong Worship, huge in Christian music. And I don't think we've ever really talked about Christian music on the podcast, but one of the biggest acts, and we'll talk about the different iterations of Hillsong, but Jim Asker in Nashville recently chatted with three members of the group. So we're going to get into that. We'll explain a little bit more some of how they work, some of the different acts they record with, but that's coming up. But as always, let's listen to this week's Top 10 before we get to that interview. This is the Billboard Hot 100's Top 10 this week.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Who gon' pray for me?
Number 10.
Take my pain for me.
Six.
I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you
might be going psycho. La mama bad like Michael. Can't really trust nobody with all this jewelry on you. My roof look like a no-show. Got diamonds by the bolo. Come with the Tony Romo for clowns and all the
Number four.
It don't make no sense. I hear tripping in finesse. You know it, you know it. Fellas, grab your ladies if your lady fights.
Saw you in that dress. Looking so beautiful. I don't deserve this. Darling, you look perfect. If it's meant to be, it'll be, it'll be. Baby, just let it be. So won't you
God's plan, God's plan.
And number one.
I hold back, sometimes I won't, yeah. I feel good, sometimes I don't, hey, I finesse down Western Road, hey, next. Might go down to G-O-D, yeah.
Number one for ninth week on the Billboard Hot 100, Drake and God's Plan. Still a huge week for it streaming-wise. It's actually its lowest streaming week of its 9 weeks, only 68.5 million streams this week. To get a sense of how big that still is, that's 9 of the 14 biggest weeks still belong to God's Plan all time. So even at its lowest, still pretty high.
Yeah, this song has not gotten old for me yet. I actually still watch the music video and like get emotional every time, which is kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
After like the 10th time, you would think like, okay, you know what's going to happen. But I love it, and I think everybody else really does too, and I think it's going to continue its momentum.
Yeah. The video, it came out in mid-February, so it's kind of given it a whole second life.
Yeah.
Halfway through its run, it's still rising at radio, so there's still an audience that the song is, even 2 months in. It's still kind of new. So we'll see where that goes. Yeah, it looks like 10th week at number one, you would think, is pretty set on the Hot 100 for next week.
And what was the record again that he would have to break for the longest amount of weeks to be number one?
16 weeks.
16 weeks.
So One Sweet Day and Despacito. So it's more than halfway there now.
Yeah.
But it's still almost 2 months away. So
I believe in Drake.
Yeah. You're calling it now?
Yeah, I'm calling it now.
Well, we'll see where Shawn Mendes, In My Blood, could make a big jump next week. Debuted in the Hot 100, number 72 this week. So we'll see if that makes a jump. Don't have any numbers yet, but you'd think it'll do something big. But again, for the streams that God's Plan has, that's a pretty big threshold for it to pass. If you heard number two right before that, finally, a new song at number two, Ed Sheeran, Perfect. Finally drops to number three. So BB REXA and Florida Georgia Line move up to number two with Meant to Be. It's the biggest hit by a country duo or group for Florida Georgia Line in 8 years since Lady Antebellum, Need You Now, back in 2010.
Oh, it's a quarter.
I feel like there has been a big gap because I remember Lady Antebellum doing really well. I was a big fan of their music, and we really haven't heard any country group.
Yeah, we've had Taylor Swift had some top tens when she was still country. Florida Georgia Line, they got to number four on the Hot 100 with their debut hit in 2013, Cruise. So this actually passes that. They now have their highest charting hit with this song at number two. And last year, Sam Hunt, Body Like a Backroad, got to number six. So there's been a few country hits here and there, but in terms of country duos or groups, talking almost a decade.
Yeah, the song is super catchy too. I kind of find myself singing it throughout the day.
Yeah.
And that's kind of my roots back home in Michigan. I feel like a lot of people listen to country music, and then coming to New York, it's a little different, but I'm happy to see that country is number two.
You don't hear country blaring through the streets here when you walk through the streets of New York?
Not often.
The other song in the top 10 that's pretty notable because it debuts on the entire Hot 100 this week, up at number 9, Lil Dicky featuring Chris Brown. We heard it back at number 9 with Freaky Friday. And if you just heard the clip of the song and you haven't seen the video, it probably won't make any sense as to what he's singing about.
No, absolutely not. I actually just watched the music video, and the whole time I was thinking, you know, this is genius, this is amazing, but if anybody started watching this a minute in, they would be lost.
Right.
But it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And actually sounds really great too. Like, even if they are making fun of themselves or having this like goofy music video, goofy words, I still was like, you know, I could dance to this. I could sing along.
I think that's kind of the genius of the song. It just sort of sounds, if you're casually listening, like a catchy pop
song. Yeah.
And this is someone who, you know, I always told Trevor, I think it's pretty known if you listen to this podcast. I'm not really the rap fan here on the podcast. I was seeing a folk show at a library on Sunday.
Oh.
Just to tell you how far I am from rap generally. But I like the song. I think it's just really funny and really clever lyrically.
I like it too. My favorite part of the music video was the dance routine at the end, but then I realized afterwards that they ended up doing more Freaky Friday switches with other celebrities, and I think that actually was my favorite part.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran.
I think the funniest line might be DJ Khaled when he says his name like he always does.
Yeah.
And then he says, "Why am I yelling?" But everyone's just making fun of themselves.
I love it.
Wait, oh my God.
And now I'm in Ed Sheeran's body. It's way less cool than being Chris Brown was.
What the heck again? DJ Khaled, why am I yelling?
So yeah, that's his first top 10. He had one number 71 hit before in 2015, so a huge career-high week for Lil Dicky. It's actually the first top 10 comedy hit since 2006, when Weird Al Yankovic had White Nerdy. Remember his
Chameleonaire? I feel like a lot of my friends had that as like their ringtone, maybe in middle school.
Ooh, we're back in 2006.
Yeah, we're back.
You know, the other thing you're saying, Meg, how it's, you know, it sounds like a hit. It was co-written and co-produced among people writing and producing the song by Benny Blanco and DJ Mustard, who've had a ton of hits. So it's kind of not surprising that there is sort of that hit factor about the song. And it makes it a little less surprising that this goofy song would become a top 10 hit. I actually did a Q&A with Lil Dicky this week about how he feels, because, you know, the whole point is he's being very self-deprecating in the song and the video. That first skit where the guy comes up to him in the restaurant and says he's not really a rapper, he's a comic rapper. He says it sort of a serious moment. He says he really feels validated to see a top 10 hit, because, yeah, he does jokey music. It's kind of not always taken that seriously. To see it have such a big week, honestly means a lot to him.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, he's still an artist, and I think all artists want to be respected, but he still knew how to be playful with this song, so it worked.
Yeah, even in the song, among all the jokes, there's a couple serious points. I think one of the lines that really stands out, if you're listening really carefully, is when Chris Brown is Lil Dicky, he says, nobody's judging me because I'm black. It's kind of a little societal dig in there of just thought that was kind of observational in the middle of this comedic song.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I asked him was, who else would you want to switch bodies with? I was like, he's got to be.
What did
people.
He say?
Two major sports people.
Mm.
LeBron James, and I always got to get my Boston sports in, Tom Brady.
Those are two great picks. I feel like if I had to switch bodies with somebody, it would be Jennifer Lawrence. That's who I would be for the day. So Jennifer, if you ever listen to this, just let me hang out with you, or just switch bodies.
You've sort of switched places with Trevor this week.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint you.
So just...
and the other thing, too, that's interesting, it's the song debuts mostly from streaming and sales, but radio is actually playing this. There are some stations playing it. I asked one of the stations, and they said, yeah, there's some lyrics that had to change. There's sort of an entire verse. If you watch the video, that would not work on radio. That comes out. Some other stuff got changed, but still really fits in. The program director who's playing it said, it's kind of a nice, different kind of rap. There's so much, nothing against other acts, but with a lot of the sort of the down-tempo rap, a lot of the Migos sound he mentioned specifically, which is just more hip-hop driven, this is just like old-school pop rap that's kind of fun once in a while. All right, so that's this week's top 10. Let's get into this week's special guests here on the Billboard Sharpie podcast. Again, this is, how's this for a segue, going from Freaky Friday to this act? Little different worlds here, but Hillsong Worship, it's Jim Asker in Nashville, recently chatted with Brooke Dave and Jad from Hillsong. This was recorded just after the Grammy Awards when they won Best Contemporary Christian Song Performance at the 2018 Grammys. So huge Grammy-winning act, so huge in the Christian world. Haven't, you know, if you're a pop fan, hasn't had that kind of crossover to pop music, but this act, I'm sure most people have heard of. It's tied in. So Hillsong Worship, it's a part of Hillsong United, Hillsong Young and Free. They actually explained that Hillsong Worship is the overarching act that's been around for about a quarter of a century. And then there's offshoots, Hillsong United, more next generation act, Hillsong Young and Free. So they talk about that and how so many people go to their services each week, how big they are worldwide. Chart-wise, a huge success. Hillsong United's Oceans Where Feet May Fail is number one for 61 weeks on our Hot Christian Songs chart, over a year. So that's just crazy, a record. And What a Beautiful Name by Hillsong Worship is second with 37 weeks at number one, still in top five this week. So altogether, Hillsong has just been so huge on our Christian charts and in the world of Christian music for so long that Jim was really excited to chat with them, sat down with them. New album is out April 6th, by the way. There Is More is what it's called. Brooke, kind of interesting. She says how she was a former mainstream secular pop artist. She's from New Zealand, too, so she has a really cool accent.
Cool.
So let's get into it. It's Jim Asker in Nashville with Brooke, Dave, and Jad from Hillsong Worship on the Billboard Sharpie Podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is.
Hey, everybody. This is Jim Asker from Billboard. And I am really excited today because I've been wanting to do an interview with these guys for a long time. And I have the folks from Hillsong Worship with me in the room. So congratulations on your Grammy and welcome to Nashville, folks.
Thank you.
I have Brooke, Dave, and Jack. And I'm so pleased to have you. You know, what was it like being at the Grammys and accepting the award, Brooke? Was it, and have you been before?
I've never been to the Grammys before. And it was such a cool night. What I love about music awards is the idea of, you know, I think music and sport are two things that unite, you know, humanity get behind those things and are united by those things. And so a night that celebrates all kinds of music, I think, is super powerful. And I really enjoyed all the parts of the ceremony, but particularly, you know, just before our category came up, there was, you know, Latin tropical ensembles and, you know, all variety of, you know, genres and subgenres. And I thought it was so cool to see people being recognized for their work who many of the mainstream might never have. Many people who listen to mainstream music might never necessarily encounter that music, but there are people doing amazing things in their craft across music, so I think that's such a cool thing.
I wish that and I feel the same way about the Grammys with a lot of different genres, but it would be really awesome if we could get a Christian performance on the Grammy Awards.
Yeah.
One of these years.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, because even in country music, you know, we have the Country Music Awards and the Academy of Country Music Awards and the Dove Awards for Christian. And it would just be nice for people who would never get to a Christian show to experience the music.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so could we just do a quick rundown with each one of you and just introduce yourself and your role with Hillsong really quick? Can we start with you?
Yeah, my name's Jad Gillies, and I'm a worship leader at Hillsong Church, and I live in Sydney. I also work for the church as a worship pastor and help develop a lot of worship leaders and things like that. I also travel with Hillsong United.
That's awesome. And what is that? What does a snapshot job description of creative pastor mean, really quick?
Well, basically, I oversee kind of what happens on the platform from a worship perspective in Australia, and really help develop, you know, because in Australia we have 30 different locations, so that's 30 different teams every Sunday. So we're trying to develop and grow a big worship team, trying to kind of equip them with what they need to serve the church.
So, do you travel all over the world?
Yeah.
how many countries is Hillsong in?
I can't tell you.
It kind of tends to change week to week.
Yeah.
Feels like we're adding campuses.
We need one in Nashville, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a lot of churches here. That's the first thing I noticed when I moved here.
There are a lot of churches. There are
but there's no Hillsong Church, but there's one in New York City, which is one of the... How big is the flagship church in Sydney?
I think we get... it's probably the biggest one. We get close to about 40,000 people on a weekend in Sydney.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And the pastor, the main pastor, is...
Brian Houston. Brian and Bobby Houston.
And Joel is the son of
That's right. Guys. Joel lives in New York, yeah.
And lives in New York. Okay, next, Dave.
Yes. My name is David Ware, and one of the worship pastors at Hillsong Church as well. Uh-huh. Also travel and get to be a part of our conferences, albums, tours, and I've just started doing a bit of arts chaplaincy as well, which is kind of cool.
Oh, and what is that exactly?
Just like a chaplain to the arts entertainment industry in Australia and New Zealand, especially, yeah.
Wow, with all different genres?
Yeah, we're trying to not let it snowball, but yeah, we basically just want to create like a support network for people that do what we do, but kind of outside the four walls of the church. And it's kind of something I'm passionate about, which is awesome.
So nice to talk to you this morning.
Yeah.
And Brooke.
I'm just me. I don't know. Who am I? I am one of our worship leaders at Hillsong Church, and I head up Hillsong Worship now, and I've been part of our church for 14 years.
And the last time we chatted, I did an interview for Billboard.com with Brooke last year, and What a Beautiful Name is still number one, by the way. We'll talk about that in a second, because that's when I was speaking to you. But your story about coming to Hillsong was really interesting. Can you just do a really quick snapshot of that?
Yeah.
How you came about to Hillsong in the first place?
Yeah, I mean, so I was a mainstream artist with Sony Music for 14 years and made 5 records there. And my first record had come out in New Zealand, and we were about to release it in Australia. So I came to Australia to do a showcase for the label. And one of the guys in my band had friends at Hillsong Church who were having a barbecue that night. So literally I went to a barbecue out in the Hills District of Sydney and met a bunch of people who went on to become my best friends in the world. And one of them I married. Then I met these people, and I went to the church, and I realized that I had found like my people. I didn't realize that I didn't have them, but then I found them, and they were them. And so I'm so articulate, I know. But anyway, and so within basically 6 weeks of that barbecue, I had decided to move from New Zealand and put my stuff in a shipping container. And 6 weeks later, I was living in Sydney and had become part of the church. Yeah.
And 50 million people a week sing these songs in church, is that right?
Yeah, that's what we're told.
We're not sure how people get those.
How do we get those numbers, by the way?
But
I personally went around the world and counted.
Yeah.
It took me 34 years.
And
here
I am. Those little thumb counter things.
She did a poll on Instagram.
Well, I lip sync, so it doesn't really count. Can we, you know, we were talking about this. I was talking about this with my cohorts at Billboard yesterday, how excited I was about talking to you guys. And they were all asking, like, what is the difference between United and Worship and Young and Free? So, Brooke, can you give us just a quick Hillsong for Dummies? Just
a quick
descriptor of each one.
Yeah, absolutely. So Hillsong Worship is... is, I guess, the expression that's been making music for, I think, 25 albums now is Hillsong, for, you know, past 25, 26 years. And that has just been our worship team. So the strength of our church and our worship team writing these songs, making this music. Now, at the same time, out of our youth ministry, 15, 16, 17, almost 20 years ago, 20 maybe,
years ago. Right,
20 years ago, we had our youth nights. So our youth groups were on Friday night, and once a month or so, we would get together, and those would be called United Nights. So Hillsong United, that would be when all the youth got together. And so out of the youth ministry of our church and those United Nights came Hillsong United. And then obviously, then all the Hillsong United guys like Jad got pretty old. So we needed to. So the newer expression of the youth of our church is Hillsong Young and Free.
Very good. And those are all, because the members from United and Worship will mix sometimes, right?
Yeah, so Hillsong Worship is when pretty much all of us are together. So Hillsong people in Hillsong United and Hillsong Young and Free who represent those expressions are also part of Hillsong Worship. Hillsong Worship is all of us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do all three of you participate in United and Hillsong Worship?
I mean, there have been times where...
Over the years,
it's kind of chopped and changed, but I'd say my involvement is mostly Hillsong Worship now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a new album coming out.
Yeah.
That's right. There is.
Yes, there is.
Can we talk about that for a sec?
Yes, we can.
Yeah, it's called There Is More, which I think it's a cool title, not just because, there's no song called There Is More, so
there's not a song called
There Is More. There's not a song called There Is More, but there is kind of this thread going through our church at the moment, especially spearheaded by our senior pastor Brian Houston, who also has a book called There Is More coming out, and it's kind of like this really cool kind of synergy of what God's doing in our church and kind of what I believe, and I think what our senior pastor believes God wants people to know about, kind of what God wants for their lives. So, maybe Brooke, do you want to talk a little bit more?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's there are three simple words and it's a very simple phrase, but I think it's a prophetic statement. You know,
Absolutely.
There's more. There is more for the church. You know, I think as Christians, sometimes we can get really familiar with, you know, when we've known the Lord for ourselves for a while, we start to try and predict what he'll do or who he is or how he moves in our lives or what he's doing in the church. But I think this is a really simple but powerful statement that God isn't done yet.
Yeah.
He's not done in the church. He's not done with what he wants to do in worship. He's not done with what he wants to do in the lives of every single individual who would call upon him. There is more. And so it's simple, but I think it's really powerful. And I'm really excited to see where these songs go, not in terms of their reach or their spread, but hopefully the depth of their impact even in an individual life, and what individuals and churches might be able to take from this statement and the songs that we've rallied around that statement in this record.
That's awesome. Where did you record the record?
We actually got to record it. Sorry, I'm blabbing on so much.
It was recorded live.
It was recorded live, yeah. We usually record our Hillsong Worship albums at Hillsong Conference, which is in July in Australia in a really big arena in Sydney. But for the first time this year, for the first time in many years at least, we went back to our actual church auditorium, Hillsong Church, and we recorded it at our Worship and Creative Conference, which is the first time we've had that conference. Mm-hmm. So this is a bit of a unique dynamic for this record, because it wasn't recorded in a huge arena. It was recorded in our own church with our own congregation, and then other people had come to be part of this Worship and Creative Conference. So it's almost a little more, there's still the sound that you would expect from a Hillsong Worship record, but there's kind of an intimacy and almost a potency of knowing that this is our church, this is our congregation that have been singing these songs, we've been, you know, serving up to them for years and decades. So it's there's a different dynamic.
It here, kind of feels like a home game, you know, like you know when you college basketball or whatever, and you have that home court advantage. That's what it actually felt like at home in our church with our people recording together. It really felt like there was that kind of home court advantage.
And the people that are there in the church, do they know that there's going to be an album made that night?
Yeah.
They do?
Yeah, I mean, primarily, like, we're a church, and our services are worship services, not necessarily album recordings. And so we try not to make it the whole emphasis of the night. We do let people know that we're pressing record, but we definitely just want to capture God's people worshiping. And so people do know, but we don't really make a big... It's not like a...
Yeah, and we try not to make too much of a big deal of it, or you get like 1,000 people yelling stuff out during...
Hi, Mom!
There's always that one guy who's like wants to yell stuff out.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Are you always writing, Brooke?
Look, I wish that I could say that I do, but you know, I'm here doing... lovely things like this with you, which is wonderful, you know. And I have 2 young children
as well. I
and
thought we were going to co-write something after.
Well, yeah, our
Nashville's a
co-writing Christmas
town,
album,
so.
Right? Our Christmas country album, Jim. I've been preparing. I hope you have.
I have the opening words if it's a country song. Hey, yeah. Girl.
Oh, I love it. I love it. There's something about the moon and whiskey, I believe, is what comes next.
Yeah.
I mean, God's really kind to me because I wish that I had time to write every day. That isn't the reality of things, but I suppose in some ways I'm always writing because as a songwriter you're always, the phrase capturing content comes to mind, which is obviously kind of can be applicable to modern technology, but capturing content in terms of absorbing the world around me, absorbing what's happening, kind of trying to discern... what the Lord is doing, and then how that might be interpreted in song, basically. And so you're always kind of, I think, absorbing and kind of ferreting away little bits of inspiration or challenge or things that you think might need to be said in a different way in a song in the future.
Yeah. And do you write solo and as a collaborator? Do you write some by yourself?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great. I was at your show, was it last spring at Bridgestone with Lauren Daigle? That was about
that
a year
United
ago
show?
Or so.
United Night?
Yeah, that was a United,
was Hillsong,
that was
United,
United
show.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I had been to a Hillsong concert. Mm. And, you know, I've been to many, many concerts. I was in radio for a long time before I joined Billboard. And I was always a Christian music fan, even when I was programming like a country station or a rock station. Mm-hmm. I was always a Christian music fan. And I was just really taken by, there's a whole different place that takes you to in a concert situation that's personal in whatever you're going through in your life as you guys are performing. And I just wanted to ask each of you what your hope is as somebody walks away from a Hillsong worship concert. Mm. Let's start with you first, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, without sounding too cliche, you just would hope people that are coming would have an encounter with God. Mm. I think I've heard it said, you know, worship is like the national anthem of the soul. You know, you go to a different country and you could be a foreigner, but you hear someone singing a song from your country or you hear your national anthem, something in you just kind of lights up. And I feel like if people come to one of our worship nights and they can just resonate with it just a little bit, even if they're not a believer, I think then we're kind of, the purpose has kind of been fulfilled.
Nice. Jack?
Yeah, you know, when we hold a night like the night you went to at Bridgestone, I'm hoping 2 things, because what I find is that people believe in the message of Christ and they believe in the truth of the Bible, but people are happy to believe the blessings of God for somebody else, but it's really difficult for them to believe it for themselves for various reasons. So my kind of things would be that they would leave a Hillsong event or a United event or whatever, just knowing that kind of the blessings, the promises and that salvation was actually theirs. It was theirs, it's not somebody else's, and it wasn't something that happened to someone else, it happened to them. But also, I also pray that what happens in that room wouldn't just be songs, that it would actually be transformational, so that when they leave that arena or when they leave that auditorium, that wherever they go to, their university or their workplace, would actually be a little bit different because of it. Because to be honest, if we're just singing, if we're out there singing songs and selling tickets, man, I'd rather just be with my kids.
Mm, that's right.
But to be honest, I believe in this message. I believe in the cause of Christ. I believe in the truth of his gospel and the salvation power. And so that's why we do it. That's why we're singing songs. That's why we write songs that would draw somebody closer to the Savior. So that's my prayer every time we get and do something like that.
It's really beautiful. Brooke?
I mean, that's a bit of a mic drop right there. I don't know if I can follow that. I'm just going to take his microphone and throw it across the room. That was so good. But yeah, I mean, I hope that people get their minds blown, not by us or by how clever or non-clever our songs are, but I hope that people glimpse what they are a part of, which is the people of God and the kingdom of God. I think when you are walking on your own personal journey, sometimes if that's not taking place in community for whatever reason, your problems can seem really big, and God can start to feel really small. Really, I feel like that's the power of the church, is when you are in community and you're experiencing the presence of God with a room full of people and a community of people, you realize that the story that God is writing in your life is a story he's also writing in the lives of the people around you, and a story that he's been writing in the people of God for centuries and millennia, actually. And you get this eternal perspective that, wow, I'm part of something so much greater than myself and so much greater than my problems. And I have a mission on this earth, and it's to outwork the plan of God for all humanity, but he wants to use me to do that. And so my prayer is that people get a glimpse of eternity in these nights and decide to give their lives to that, because that's the reason that you can get out of bed in the morning and keep going when everything else is turned to rubbish, when you know that you are born for such a time as this, when you know that there's a reason for you to get out of bed in the morning, and that there are other people's lives and nations on the other side of you realizing who you are in Christ and what he has for you to do. That's a powerful thing, and that's why we do it. Yeah.
Nice. You know, I got to tell you, America's a crazy little place right now. Just from a personal perspective, I listen to music all day in the genres that I cover for Billboard. And when I stop and listen to one of your songs, it just hits you. We're all moving so fast and thinking about a million different things and our deadlines. And then when you hear What a Beautiful Name or, any one of your songs, it just stops you in your tracks, kind of. It makes you just take a breath for a minute. And I think that's what it does for people. It just it means more. It goes deeper than normal pop music, mainstream pop music, I think. If I express that,
and pop culture too. I think who we represent and the message of, obviously the message of Christ, I think it transcends all of what you're saying, pop music, pop culture, political kind of persuasion. It is, and I think there's a truth to it, and I think that's, for me, that's what kind of gives me that feeling that you were just describing. Like, it gives me that little, hang on a second, this is for everybody.
Yeah.
And across everything that's happening in this world, whether you're whether you're a liberal or whether you're a conservative, it doesn't matter, because the truth that love, that God is love, and that is accessible to everybody, I think that's just something that you can't get past. It's just something that goes across everything.
Yeah, that's really great. And this might be going a little bit too deep, but when I interviewed Hillary Scott from Lady Antebellum, and she did that beautiful Christian record, I was telling her that sometimes you're going so fast that it's hard to pray. And I told her, when I listen to Thy Will, it actually helps you pray. Mm-hmm. It gets you to a place where you can get all the other stuff out of your brain, and your music does that for people. Do you carry that with you? Like, what, is that a burden sometimes for you guys?
I think, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So there is a burden, but when you carry it with the help of the Holy Spirit, it's not so heavy that it'll crush you. If you try and carry it on its own, that's when it will crush you, and that's when people get kind of messed up, you know, because in worship we're dealing with glory, which only belongs to God. And where it gets twisted and where people get crushed and destroyed and contorted in their own souls is where you try and carry any of the glory. You're not even take the glory for yourself, but sometimes I think innocently you
receive it
or carry it. But actually the only way to survive this for your soul is to make sure you give it. So, I mean, I didn't think I would ever share this, but, you know, on Sunday night we had that amazing night at the Grammys, but I made sure the last thing I did before I went to sleep, my husband was asleep in the bed beside me, but I got out of bed and I got on my knees and I said, God, this is yours. You have to have all the glory, because if I try to, you know, even innocently hold on to any of it on my own, it will ruin me, it will destroy me, because it's not what my soul was made for. My soul was made to worship and to give all of the glory to God.
So,
and so that's how we have to carry it.
So good, Brooke.
That's so great. Do pop stars come up to you sometimes and say thank? Because I think a lot of them probably listen to Christian music. Do you get to meet up with people you never thought would be fans of your music that are sometimes?
Yeah, and weirdly so.
give us one.
You'll have encounters, you know, like at our Hillsong conference in Sydney, a bunch of people, different people come, and some of them come publicly and some kind of come under the radar. But then if you meet them, because sometimes I'm not going to drop names, but you meet them and it's like they treat you like they know you because they've been listening to your music, but I'm like treating them like I know them because I've been listening to their music, you know, so it's the weirdest thing. Yeah.
If you had a chance to collaborate with a pop artist, who would you choose? Have you ever thought about that?
Well,
or a rock artist or a country artist?
I don't think if I've actually thought about that.
Well, Chris Stapleton is standing outside, so he's...
Oh. You know,
I'm just kidding.
He's ready.
Look, that's a good suggestion. I'll run with that.
It's a great artist.
Great suggestion.
I have a not so secret crush on Bono, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah,
I'm not even trying to be cool. Like,
he's
Bono
pretty
was,
cool.
Have you met him?
I haven't met him. Mm-mm.
When they started out, was it? People say they were a Christian act when they started. Is that true? Or
I have no idea. Let's ask Bono. Let's call him. But I think, you know, Bono has that, I don't know if you've ever seen that amazing interview that he did with Eugene Peterson, who translated the Message. He did Eugene Peterson and Bono sat down and did this talk about the Psalms. And it's like only a few minutes, but it's incredible. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it.
I'll check it out.
Eugene Peterson and Bono, but... You know, Bono, I think you can hear in his music that he's always had this this wrestle with God, you know. And there are times when you can sense in his music that he's been in a lighter place, and there are times when he's been in a dark place. And that's actually the reality of everybody's walk with God. And so I think that you can feel, whether you're a believer or not, you can feel the beautiful kind of sacredness of that journey that he's been on. I don't know him from a bar of soap. I couldn't tell you where he's at, but I can tell you that, you know, he's certainly, you know, inspired me as somebody who has written art that is true to his soul.
I love that there's artists that outside of genres, you know, there's mainstream artists that are followers of Christ. And I think that's cool because you don't necessarily have to be a Christian artist or a secular artist or a whatever. You're an artist and you're doing your best at what you can do, and you're bringing your best kind of art, you're bringing your best kind of contribution, and you're a follower of Christ. Right. If you get what I'm saying, I really love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I totally get it.
And I feel like maybe...
Because I can mention artists that I grew up listening to that I know there's a spiritual connection
yeah.
to, even though they're not Christian artists.
Yeah. Even you too, for you know, as an example we were talking about before, perhaps they were a Christian band, but perhaps they weren't. Perhaps they were just a band who loved God, if you know what I mean.
What I love about your music is that, you know, I grew up on rock and roll and had 3,000 albums by the time I was a senior in high school.
Wow.
And had been to like over 100 Springsteen shows before 1990. And coming to your music, what I love about it is sonically, It's Christian music sonically, but there's also definitely a rock sound to the production that kind of brings you in if you're just listening. You come from another place, like your drummer. Who's the drummer? Because
we have a few.
The drummer, the drumming is always phenomenal on Hillsong Music, mm-hmm. And I love that. So this tour starts in April. It will do how many? 13, do you know how many dates?
13 dates.
13 dates. And will that be the first time that you're going out with the pastors of Hillsong?
No.
And how's that work? Will you come out first? Will they come out first? Or so haven't you set that up yet?
It'll probably kind of be a bit like a big church service, really. I mean, I think that's what we want to do.
Be all on stage together kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we would come out and play like a worship set, and then our pastor Brian will come out. He has a book coming out called There Is More as well, right, which is perfect. And so he'll come in and, you know, give us a talk. It depends on which part of the country you're in, is how he'll preach. He'll preach a sermon or he'll give a talk.
Yeah.
He'll do all of those things, give a message, and then we'll
I hope you're coming to Nashville. Well, if not,
I should know these things. There's another leg in the days. Fall. There's
the second leg in September. Yeah.
Yeah, another leg in the fall. Another run in the
be
fall.
Another 14 dates, I think.
Because you guys don't come here enough. I know there's a lot of places to see, but
I know. No, but this is
have you done
great.
The Ryman yet? Have you played the Ryman Auditorium?
United have.
You know, because it was a church, and it has one of the best acoustic sounds in the world.
It was an incredible experience. Just one little thing.
Because the benches are all, you know, former pews.
Yeah, it's all wood, and you can kind of feel like there's some history in there. And we were just young punks. It was years ago. It was like 10 years ago we got to play.
Yeah, it's great.
And but the coolest thing for us was we finished that night, and we were going out the back doors, and Stephen Curtis Chapman was kind of outside in the back area and he kind of was like, hey, you know, thanks, because my son really loves your music. And we'd all been grew up listening to Stephen Curtis Chapman. I'm only like 25. I haven't been doing it for very long. So we were like, how crazy that Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of the guys that we all look to, would not only be there, but, you know, kind of thank us. So
that's awesome.
Incredible.
And I know we're running low on time here, so I just want to end quickly by what else is on the docket for 2018 that you could tell us?
2018 is...
It seems like you guys are always on the go.
Yeah. I mean, I think just, the question is, when are we not doing something?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
gets
with, you know, even apart from the travel, our church calendar alone is bursting at the seams. So, you know, we have our women's conference, Colour, which starts in March and goes all around the world. So I'll be traveling with a bunch of that, as well as jumping on Pastor Brian's tour for a little bit. That There Is More tour in April, and so that's April, May. Then July we have our Hillsong conference, then that also goes around the world. Then there'll be the second run in October, and then the second tour run here, that is, the There Is More tour, and then that will lead us right into our new album recording. So in between then, we've got to write an album and do pre-production and all that stuff as well.
Do you have any time for... You guys have families and stuff, so do you get... Yeah. It must be... I know we're running low on time, but it must be impossible to juggle all of that.
It gets pretty tough.
Yeah,
we had to drastically change our tour schedule for Hillsong United last year, just because of the toll it was taking on families. And I think we made some good decisions with regards to what we were all carrying and how much we were away. And so we had to make some adjustments. And but we've just come off in Australia. We've just come off our summer holidays, so.
So we're ready.
You're
ready to rock.
We're ready to roll. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming in. I know,
thank you, Jim,
to fit us in, and I really appreciate your time this
thank
morning.
You.
We've been talking with Jad Gillies. Thank you, Jad.
Thank you.
Dave Ware.
Thank you.
And Brooke Ligertwood. Thank you so much. Congratulations again on the Grammy Award.
Thank
well
you.
Deserved.
Thanks so
thank
much,
you.
Jim.
And good luck in 2018.
Thank you.
Bless you.
I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star I see. Thank you.
Hillsong Worship on the Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Great hearing from them. Again, Jim Asker in Nashville recently, sitting down with Brooke, Dave, and Jad from Hillsong. So much success. Congratulations, obviously, on their Grammy Awards, number ones on the charts. So, yeah, if you didn't know a lot about Christian music, it's this whole other world that maybe pop fans aren't always aware of, but you could hear in the interview just how big worldwide that following is.
Definitely. I'm going to check out their music after listening to this interview.
All right. That is this week's Billboard Chartbeat Podcast. Trevor, we think we'll be back next week, although, I don't know, you did a good job, Mac.
Thanks. Maybe some competition, Trevor?
Next week, actually, we're going to be having an extra podcast tomorrow. Mary Chapin Carpenter, who's had so many country hits over the years, Grammy Award winning. I've wanted to interview her for so long. So I'll slip in a week where Trevor's not around, I'll slip in another solo podcast with Mary Chapin Carpenter posting tomorrow. And it's the day her new album comes out, by the way, Sometimes Just the Sky. So we'll talk about that and her career. I'll be back next week with, we think, Trevor. Maybe, Meg. We'll see. New regular format podcast then. Meg, you're following how the movie, speaking of Christian music, it just sort of is tied into the mainstream this week. The Mercy Me movie, I Can Only Imagine, is doing really well.
Yeah, actually, some friends and family told me that they recently went to go see it, and they really loved it. And, you know, I'm a film person. That's my background. So I am always wanting to check out new movies. So I think I'm going to see that one next.
So a little different than Black Panther. Just kind of funny. Different
yeah, it's not a Black Panther movie, but I'm sure both of them are great, and I'm excited to see both of them.
All right. We'll close with a song that actually, really interesting, it took almost 20 years for the song to get to number one. It was a Christian radio hit before we had a chart that covered that back in the late 90s. It was then an adult contemporary hit in the early 2000s. But this week, for the first time, it's number one on our Hot Christian Songs chart after all these years. So it's what happens when the movie comes out. We'll close with Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine, on the Billboard Chappie Podcast.
I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.